Right, so we've got this stack of articles you shared about Bitcoin, and it really got me thinking about, you know, that whole early promise of Bitcoin, like a financial system outside of the control of governments and big banks.
Right.
These articles, though, they highlight some real challenges to that vision.
Yeah.
Especially this idea of centralization, like it's kind of creeping in.
Yeah.
What are your initial thoughts on that?
Well, it's interesting how this tension between the ideal and the reality always seems to play out. Mm. You know, that initial vision of Bitcoin was really powerful.
Yeah.
But as more players enter the space, you get different perspectives on, you know, how it should evolve.
Right.
And I think that's where things get really interesting.
Yeah. And one article points to Nostra as like a case in point.
Okay.
It's designed for privacy, but it seems to be struggling to attract users and even facing some of the centralization issues it's trying to avoid.
Exactly. And the article really highlights how, you know,
yeah,
Nostra's privacy features, while they're promising, haven't really been enough to draw in that wide user base.
Right.
And, you know, without that widespread adoption,
yeah,
it actually becomes more vulnerable to those centralization pressures.
Interesting.
So it begs the question, you know, can you achieve true decentralization?
Yeah.
While still building a platform that's user friendly?
Right.
And, you know, scalable enough for the masses.
Like this catch 22, right?
Yeah.
You need the users, but to get them, you might have to compromise on the decentralization.
Exactly.
And that leads to another debate that these articles highlight,
okay,
which is this whole Bitcoin as a store of value versus medium of exchange idea.
Right.
It seems like focusing only on Bitcoin's scarcity and potential for like massive appreciation,
yeah,
might actually be hurting its chances of becoming that everyday currency it was envisioned to be.
Absolutely. It's a question of, you know, how are we utilizing this technology?
Mm-hmm.
Is it about speculation and potential riches, or is it about actually changing how we interact financially on a daily basis? I mean, think about it this way. If everyone hoarded their dollars waiting for them to increase in value,
yeah,
the economy would come to a standstill.
Right.
A currency is only truly valuable if it's being used for transactions.
Makes you think about all those times you've used Bitcoin to actually buy something, right?
Right.
For me, not that many, to be honest.
And that's a common experience, and that's part of the hurdle for Bitcoin becoming a widely used medium of exchange, the speed and cost of transactions.
Right.
And that's where the Lightning Network comes into play.
Okay, so for our listeners who might not be familiar with the Lightning Network,
true,
break that down a little bit.
Yeah. So imagine you're building a super fast highway on top of existing roads.
Mm-hmm.
That's essentially what the Lightning Network is designed to do for Bitcoin.
Okay.
It aims to make those transactions faster and cheaper.
Gotcha.
Especially for smaller everyday purchases.
Makes sense. But from what I'm reading here, the Lightning Network is facing its own set of challenges too.
Yes. There have been concerns raised about the potential for centralization within the Lightning Network itself, where certain companies or entities could potentially gain disproportionate control, which, you know, kind of contradicts the idea of a truly decentralized system.
So even with this highway being built, there are still some potential roadblocks.
Yeah.
What are some of the risks associated with this type of centralization within the Lightning Network?
One of the big ones is the potential for locked funds.
Okay.
So if a channel on the Lightning Network isn't closed properly, your money can essentially get stuck.
Ah, interesting.
Imagine making an online payment and the transaction gets stuck and your money in limbo.
Yeah.
It's kind of a simplified way to think about it.
Right.
But it highlights the need for user-friendly solutions that empower individuals to have greater control over their funds within that network.
So user control is key. And on top of all this, we have this presence of CBDCs.
That's right.
Which adds another layer of complexity, I think, to the future of decentralized finance.
Yeah, definitely.
Could you explain what those are and how they fit in all this?
Yeah, so central bank digital currencies, or CBDCs, they're essentially digital versions of a country's fiat currency issued and controlled by the government.
Right.
And their emergence really raises important questions about how governments might approach this whole concept of a digital currency.
Yeah.
Will they embrace the decentralized ethos of something like Bitcoin?
Right.
Or will they use it as an opportunity to increase control and surveillance?
That's a big question.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely a development worth watching closely.
For sure. And it seems like this entire discussion ultimately ties back to this bigger question of individual freedom in the digital age.
Mm-hmm.
If Bitcoin, with its initial promise of decentralization,
right,
is struggling to overcome these challenges.
Yeah.
What does that say about the future of individual control in a world that's increasingly online?
It's a good question. It really makes you wonder about that whole hyper-Bitcoinization thing, you know?
Yeah.
This idea of Bitcoin becoming like the dominant global currency.
Right.
But these articles you've shared, they really highlight the challenges it's facing.
Yeah, one thing that really struck me was this idea that the narrative of Bitcoin as a store of value, while it might sound appealing to some investors, could actually be holding it back from reaching that level of global adoption.
It's interesting, right?
Yep.
Because on the one hand, you have the scarcity
yep.
and the potential for appreciation.
Right.
Those are big draws for Bitcoin.
Totally.
But if everyone's just holding on to it,
yep.
waiting for its price to go through the roof, it never really fulfills its potential as a practical, everyday currency.
Right. It's like anything else, I guess.
Yeah.
If people are just treating it as an investment,
exactly.
they're less likely to actually use it for its intended purpose.
Exactly. And this is where I think the community aspect comes into play.
Okay.
The future of Bitcoin isn't just about the technology itself. It's about people choosing to use it.
Right.
To build upon it.
Yeah.
And to create a robust and decentralized ecosystem around it.
So it's about shifting the mindset from speculation to participation.
Absolutely, I like that.
And education is a huge part of that.
Okay.
Because if people don't understand Bitcoin, they're afraid of it or misinformed about it.
Yeah.
Widespread adoption is going to be incredibly difficult.
You mentioned fear, and I'm looking at these articles.
Yeah.
There's talk about government surveillance, corporate control of data. This whole CBDC situation,
right?
It's easy to feel kind of powerless in the face of these larger forces.
Yeah.
So what can individuals actually do to support a more decentralized future?
Right.
Whether it's through Bitcoin or other means.
Well, first of all, I think that feeling is understandable.
But it's crucial to remember that we're not passive bystanders in this.
Right.
We have agency.
Okay.
The first step, I think, is to educate yourself.
Okay.
The more you understand these technologies, the better equipped you'll be to make informed choices.
Yeah.
Don't just take someone's word for it. Dig in. Explore. Ask questions.
Okay, so knowledge is power.
Exactly.
What else can people do?
Support projects and organizations that align with your values.
Okay.
You know, there are countless initiatives out there that are working to build a more decentralized internet, promote digital privacy,
right.
and empower individuals.
We've discussed some of them on this very show.
Exactly.
Right. It's about putting your money where your mouth is, so to speak.
Exactly. And don't underestimate the power of simply talking about these issues.
Okay.
Have conversations with your friends, your family, your colleagues. The more awareness that we create, the more we can push back against centralization.
Yep.
And build a future where technology serves individuals, not just institutions.
It sounds like there's a real emphasis on community action here.
There is.
This isn't just about, you know, some tech nerds coding in a basement.
Right.
It's about everyone taking ownership of their digital lives.
Exactly.
It's challenging, though.
It is.
I mean, how do we even begin to explain to someone who's just going about their day,
right.
checking social media, buying groceries online,
right.
that there's this whole other layer of technology and ideology at play that could radically reshape your lives?
It's a challenge, no doubt,
yeah.
but it's also an opportunity. Because when you strip away the technical jargon and all the abstract concepts, it boils down to something we all understand.
Okay.
Freedom.
Okay.
Freedom to choose how we interact.
Yeah.
How we transact. How we express ourselves online.
That's a powerful way to frame it.
And that's what makes this whole conversation so important. The future of the internet, of finance, of freedom itself, it's not predetermined.
Yeah.
It's something we're actively shaping with every choice we make, every click we take, every technology we embrace or reject.
That's a lot of responsibility.
It is.
But it's also kind of empowering, knowing that we have a say in how this all plays out.
Exactly. And that's what's so exciting about this whole space.
Oh.
Yes, there are challenges and there are powerful forces at play.
Yeah.
But there's also this incredible surge of innovation, creativity, people coming together to build a better future.
It always comes back to that community aspect, doesn't it?
It does.
This idea that we're not in this alone.
Exactly. And that's a force to be reckoned with.
So if we circle back to like the beginning, you know, this whole tension between the original promise of Bitcoin and like the realities it's facing today.
Right.
What's the key takeaway here for our listeners?
You know, I hope they feel empowered not to question assumptions, to dig deeper and really challenge the status quo. Because technology isn't neutral.
And the future isn't predetermined.
Yeah.
We have a say in this.
Duggan.
We have a voice.
Right.
And I think the more we use it,
yeah,
the more we engage in these conversations, the more likely we are to create that future where technology empowers individuals.
It's about taking back control one step at a time.
Exactly. And, you know, Bitcoin's journey is really just one part of a much larger story that's unfolding in the digital realm.
So as we wrap up here, here's something I think is worth considering. What if Bitcoin, in its current form, doesn't fully realize that initial vision of a decentralized financial system? What does that mean for the future of individual freedom?
Yeah.
In a world that's so increasingly digital, what other paths might emerge and what will you choose to create? Those are the questions worth pondering.
Great talk as always. I really enjoyed diving into this with you.
Me too. Thanks for having me.